What a great weekend we've had. Can I get an amen? With Revelation Walk, 4 souls saved last night. To God be the glory. That's a blessing. And the first service this morning, we had someone join the church. Second service, somebody was saved. Thank God for that. Baptized 9 people tonight. I think that's a great weekend. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. And on top of all that, we have a guest pastor with us. This is Brother Kevin Jones and his wife, Amber. Will y'all stand up so everybody can kind of see who you are? You got a good-looking haircut, Brother Kevin. And everybody welcome them tonight. Amen. We're going to pray for y'all tonight before we leave. And we're honored to have you with us tonight. It's easy to sing when things are going good. But when you're in a struggle and in a battle, sometimes it's not always easy to sing praises or to be excited about life. And you know what? Sometimes life does get hard, and sometimes we do have to walk through a valley. But aren't you glad tonight that the same God that's the God of the mountains, the God of the valley as well, and we can trust Him in hard times? I do want you to know that with Rachel and Melody, we're glad to have you. We had one more person that was going to be with us tonight, Joy. Y'all know Joy. She's from India, and Joy got really sick. And so let's take a minute to pray for her before we begin tonight. Pray for Joy. She said that's never happened to her before. Amen. She just got sick. And so let's pray for Joy. You know, the devil probably just didn't want that to happen. So I told her, I said, Joy, don't worry about that. We'll have you back up here another week. So let's encourage her and pray for her. So let's bow together and pray. Father, we come before you tonight. God, we thank you that you are God. And Lord, we thank you for all that we've experienced in church today and all the great things that's went on. And Lord, tonight we pray for our sister in Christ, Joy. We lift her up to you, God. We pray that you'll just do a work of healing in her body. And God, that you will help her in a very special way. Lord, we lift Joy up to you. And we ask, God, now that you will take her in your hands and you'll take care of her in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Before we begin tonight, I did want to read a scripture to you. I say this to you all the time. You know, the Bible is a real book full of real stories about real people. And when you look there together, let's all say that together. Real pain, real people, real Jesus. And on Sunday night, what we've been doing is we've been talking about real lives. And I know that you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. It's called Reality Church, where we take our mask off. And we're able just to share in the lives of people. And I do want to say thank God for all those that have already sat on the stage and shared their heart. Will you let them know you appreciate them as well? Amen. Tonight, if you'll look in your Bible, if you have your Bible, in Psalms 147, I love this psalm. It starts off with talking about praising God and singing praises to God. He says it's a pleasant thing to do, to sing God, praises to God. And then in verse number 3, it's almost as if you can feel the heart of the psalmist during this time. It's almost as if we all can identify with verse number 3 of Psalms 147. It says, He heals the broken in heart, and He binds up their wounds. A lot of people say, well, you know what, time will take care of that. You know what, I don't believe that. I believe that time may put a scab on the hurt, but the Bible says time doesn't do it. You know, we got to realize that the Word of God says He does that. He heals the broken in heart, and He binds up their wounds. And what we're doing in our church is we're talking about pain. People that are struggling and people that have been through tough times. And so tonight we got with us Melody. Melody is from the River Campus, and man, she's from our other campus. Shout out to all the River Campus folks, right? And so we're excited about that. Thank God for them. You got your buds with you tonight from the River Campus. And this is Rachel. And man, I just love these two ladies. They Rachel went to Haiti with me this year. She's a new Christian, just got in church and signed up to go to Haiti. And man, God used her in a powerful way. So we're excited about y'all being here tonight. So we're just going to kind of talk tonight and hang out together. And we're not even going to pay attention to these folks, all right? So are y'all ready, girls? I think it's a good thing. So we're talking about pain in our lives. And obviously, you guys are not a stranger to that. You've had a lot of things go on in your lives, and I was talking to y'all earlier in my office that, you know, I could pick from hundreds of people to come on the stage with me, and I really asked God, who do you want me to get? And the people that I feel like the Lord has led me to is real and authentic, and you got, you know, it kind of landed on y'all. For y'all to be on the stage with me. So I told you in the office, it's just us. Melody and Rachel, it's just me and you and us talking about life. And we've been talking on Sunday morning about pain and struggles in our lives and how that pain is real. And I know some of your story, but I don't know all of your story. I don't know all the things that you've experienced in life, the ups and downs. But, gosh, I know you're no stranger to the pain. So let's start with you, Melody. You knew I was going to do that, right? So let's talk about your life. And I remember the first time I ever met you was at, you know, we were out visiting, knocking on doors, and yeah. You come to the door and didn't want us there.
No, I did not.
And so so as a result, you know, of how God's moved in your life, before that, there were a lot of things that went on in your world and your pain. So why don't you tell us, Melody, about your pain? What's went on in your world that you would be willing to share with the group? Or with me, not the group, me.
Yes, well, there's lots of things that's happened, that's gone on in life. There's, you know, my story is kind of similar to a lot of people, especially in our area, in our state, in our communities, and grew up poor, you know, and that's the story of most people here, you know, honestly. I was always the big girl, still am, but I'm not self-conscious as I was before. I was bullied a lot in school, and, you know, just, that's rough, it really is. And like I told you when we were in your office, that going to Revelation Walk last night really kind of confirmed something with me that I was really struggling about and really praying with about, trying to know, you know, decide if I was going to share or not. And after seeing one of the scenes in Revelation Walk, it confirmed, like, I need to share this. Like, this, you know, somebody might be struggling with this because I struggle with this. And when you're bullied and you feel like you're worthless and you're unwanted and you're ugly and you're the big girl and just... You know, it's hard.
You're fine. You're good.
Thank you. Got into, you know, an inappropriate relationship that I should have never been in. And I ended up trying to take my life. And I almost succeeded. Almost. Thankfully, I had a mom that was very quick to realize kind of what was going on and got me to where I needed to go, and, you know, I ended up being okay, and, you know, there's years of self-harm and just places that, you know, you wouldn't see it. You try to hide it. When you do self-harm, you're embarrassed and you're ashamed, you're not going to give the bully something else that they can physically see on you, so you kind of, like, your legs where you wouldn't be able to see it.
Cut,
and there's things that I've never shared with people, but I feel like that the Lord's placed it on my heart to share, because where I was and where I have become, things have changed so much, and I'm not the same person I was.
Yay.
And
that's good. That's good.
No.
By the way, you're not hearing that. It's just me and you.
I've struggled, and the pain's real, and bullying is a real problem, and it's not a new thing. It's not new. It's been here for... I mean, I'm 28, yeah. And I mean, it's been here for a long time. And I'm not saying it's not, it just started with me, people before me. And just, and then from there, just, you know, inappropriate relationship, I became a mother very, very young in life. I was 17. And once I had Maddie, things changed. So, and she's the reason why we're here.
Yes, she is.
She is. Because you were badgering us at the door.
Yes.
So
I know.
Finally, you know, y'all, we weren't home one week. Y'all had come, and there was a VBS flyer in the door. Mom, please, please, please let us go. And I'm just like, no, maybe later. I'll think about it. Mom, please. Fine. Okay. So we go. And that was the best decision I've ever made. It really is, because I can't imagine what my life would be like if I didn't decide to let the kids go. And when we went, my second, you know, my second child, Sebastian, he didn't want me to go. Mommy got to stay. It was new, you know, kind of shy, and I was like, okay, well, I'll stay. Reluctantly, I stayed, and that was it. You were like, I got her. And so, for like the whole time during VBS, just the conversation. But what you know, I tell people, even when I invite them to church, and I'm like, you got to listen to my pastor. It's just, there's something about him. Like, you didn't, like I told you, you didn't shove the Bible down my throat. You didn't preach at me. You spoke to me like a human being, like a person, and not judging, and not, I don't know, just, it was different. Because I've been preached at, and I've been, oh, you need Jesus, and, you know, and I'm just like, you know, self-proclaimed atheist for a very long time. I didn't believe. And I'm just like, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you? If you're real, where are you?
Right. Like, why are you in my pain?
Why do we have to struggle, and why do we have to suffer if you're real? Where are you? So I never believed, and I always thought we were living in hell. Like, what could be worse? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't believe. I had no inkling of a idea that there was any person, because if it was truly, if God was real, why would he let somebody suffer?
Right.
Why?
That's a question so many people ask.
Absolutely.
You know, if God is there and he's real, why is there so much pain in the world?
Right.
And I know you were processing that. Because the first time I ever met you, you told me, hey, I'm an atheist.
Yeah. I was not ashamed. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just chatted and talked and hung out, and I badgered you a little
bit. Yeah, a little bit more. But, every night for a week.
Well, you know, God really, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Let's go back, Melody, to the beginning of the conversation that we're having tonight. So you started off by saying you were poor, you were a big girl. You even admitted, I've always been a big girl, still a big girl.
Yeah.
So you in school, you
yeah,
used
brutal.
The term, you were bullied. You were.
Oh, yeah.
What I mean. How?
I mean, if anything you could think of. I mean, I was, and I'm not trying to be boastful, I mean, I was book smart, and I was street smart. And so, I mean, like, I kind of stayed to myself because, like, I was, I mean, y'all are so immature. And I had, like, a few, like, little friends, you know, like, our little cliques we had. And, like, they always, nobody kind of, when we were all together, they wouldn't mess with us because we were always the big girls. And they were always kind of afraid of us.
They don't mess with a big girl, right?
So,
they bully you at a distance.
Right. Yeah. But if they catch you by yourself, that's when you would hear, you know, oh, you know, this or that. Or if I didn't have, like, the most popular shoes or the most popular shirt or the name brand stuff. And being, you know, a bigger girl, that wasn't an option sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the time we have, like, Walmart clothes. And not to, there's nothing wrong with Walmart clothes, but when you're a kid, and everybody else, you know, has name brand stuff. And I know that's very materialistic, but when you're a child, you don't see that.
Right.
You just feel what they're dishing to you. And, you know, when you,
so
when you're
so kept
lost,
getting slammed and slammed and slammed. And you reverted back to trying to commit suicide.
Well, I reverted to an inappropriate relationship. And between the two of those, that's what led to,
you just wanted out of life.
I was like, well, there's no reason. Why? Why continue? There's, like, I'm not wanted any place, anywhere.
You just didn't feel like you was worth anything.
No, absolutely. Completely
you didn't feel
worthless.
Like you was wanted. You just felt like you was just ready to get out of this.
Yeah,
thing.
I was done. Like, I was like, there she wrote.
How
we're
was
doing.
You when you did that?
Maybe 15 or 16.
15 or 16. Real peer pressure kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Went into dark depression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Well, we'll come back to you, okay? Because I know that there's a lot more to the story. Here we go, Rach. Microphone up. Let's go. Rachel, you know, I remember talking with you, and it's almost the same kind of story. You said, hey, I was the big girl, and I still am.
That's right.
And, you know, I remember us having that conversation when we were in Haiti. And I go, Rachel, you're a great girl. What's the deal? But let's talk, Rachel, I don't know a lot about your, you know, your life coming up. I really don't. Tell me your pain, Rachel. What is your world about? What was it about?
I grew up in the 80s. Does that tell you anything?
Yeah, that tells me something. You're an 80 kid.
My parents were bikers. Lots of parties.
Your parents were bikers.
Yes.
A lot of parties.
They would have big conventions at our house. Lots of get-togethers. They didn't hide anything from us. We knew everything. And I always said as a kid that wasn't going to be me. Wasn't going to be that person because as a child it hurt to see your parents like that. I was the kid that sat on the side of the road and hoped the church bus come by and could flag it down on Sunday because my parents weren't going to take me.
Say that to me again, Rachel. Tell me, you was the kid.
I would stand on the side of the road and hope the church bus come by so I could flag it down and go to church because my parents wouldn't take me. My other friends were going. I had family that went, and I would go spend the summer with them and go with them, but my parents weren't going. They still, to this day, won't. They have all the excuses in the world not to go. But I was trying. I was going. But, you know, being young, it's hard to find a church where you fit when you're a child and your parents aren't there. All the other kids sort of look at you funny. it was hard, and I didn't always fit in. I was a lot like her, the big girl. I ended up at, I was 14. I had bulimia. Instead of my mom dealing with it, she sent me away. It was easier. She sent me with my grandma in Florida. I would binge and purge. And she would not let me out of her sight. It was a rough summer. but I got better. God brought me through that. And my grandmother taught me to love myself again. My mother was always really, everything had to be perfect all the time. And I wasn't that perfect image of a child. I wasn't. I have Afro curly hair and a lot of weight on me. And I had an attitude problem. But it was hard. And I longed for a relationship that I didn't get from my parents. And I, at 17, sought an inappropriate relationship and was married to a 34-year-old man. And my parents allowed it. They signed the papers. My mother contested a little bit, but my father was like, bye. And
so you're 17, marrying a 34-year-old.
Yes. He was an alcoholic.
He was an alcoholic.
Yeah. it was rough. And then he attacked me one night. He was pretty drunk. And I left the next day. He left, and I packed all my stuff as quick as I could and left. And from there, it got bad. I became that person I said I wasn't going to be. I started drinking real bad. I was homeless. Like, there was nowhere to go. And I was living. My stuff was in my car, but I was staying with friends. Started doing drugs, meth, anything. Anything I could get my hands on, I would do. I met my husband now. We were addicts together.
Addicts together.
Yes. That's how we met, through friends. You know, I thought after seeing the way I was raised with my parents and bikers and party, you really feel like you're not nobody if you don't do that. You've got to fit in that persona because, you know, I went to church and I didn't fit in with them people. They didn't accept me. I was always outcast from everything. And so that's where I ended up. And got it was 2010. My daughter was 9 months old. The cops kicked in my door. I had let a man stay with us. Thought I was helping him. I don't, even in addiction, I didn't want to see anybody go without. I've always had a really big heart. While me and my kids were asleep, he was making meth in my kitchen. They kicked the door in, he ran. I was in bed with my two kids. My son was 3 with breathing problems. My daughter was 9 months old. This day took them. They were just gone. I was in looking. I had never been in trouble. 7 years in prison.
You were 7 years in prison?
That's what they offered me. They wouldn't go down. I got lucky and had a lot of good people around me at that point in time and got a lot of good references, and they let me do probation. But if I had just got a traffic ticket, I was gone. 7 years. My kids were gone for a year. I fought. God, I fought. I prayed. That for me, that's the best rehab in the world. My kids were my world. I didn't want to be the parents that I had. I wanted to be there. I wanted them to know the Lord, and I wanted them to do right. And I had failed. I had let, you talk about strongholds, family strongholds all the time. I had let that happen in my life. I did everything I was supposed to. I was in and out of church during it all, trying to work. My husband went to prison during all that, and he ended up getting a charge too. He was gone. He got sentenced to a year and a day. He was gone for two, though, because of the holding period in court. I fought for my kids. I did hard. NAs, all kinds of stuff, classes, parenting classes, you name it. Worked. I'd wash cars in the snow. I know that sounds crazy, but I got my kids back a year to the day, and it was the biggest blessing in my world. And you know, a couple of years ago, well, it's been about a year, almost a year now that we've been here. I want to say it may be 6-7 months. I looked at my son. My son walked out of his room for school, had his pants sagging down. His, you know, that's the cool thing now. I said, no, go back in your room and try again. So he tried again, but he had on shorts this time. And I looked and I said, you're doing it, Rachel. You're turning your kids into what your parents turned you into. You and them kids need to get to church. And that's how we ended up here. The next Sunday we were here.
I'm going to come back to that, Rachel. So, as a little girl, you were in an environment that was not okay. And you saw everything. I mean, you saw the drugs. You were exposed to that. One of the things you said that really spoke to my heart is you was the kid, sat on the curb, tried to wave the church bus down because your parents were not going to take you. But all that time, you knew there was something different. And then you went to church, and as you went to church, your parents were not there, and you were the kid that was the outsider. Was that real, or was that just something that you just, it was something that you thought was happening? Or do you just feel like you just, I mean, how does that work?
I think it's how I let myself feel like I was saw.
You just didn't feel like you measured up?
No, because my family wasn't like the other families. We didn't go to the church picnics, and I may be there one Sunday, I may not be there the next Sunday, and I think I just let myself feel that way, you know, gotcha. Like.
And then because of trying to look for significance in your life, you got involved in inappropriate relationships, and then you're spiraling.
Yes.
Wow.
It got bad. Like, it went from, okay, we're okay, to just, wow, overnight. Like, I turned around and went, what just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, you swear you won't be that person, and the next thing you
know. So you and I have talked openly about this. We've had the discussion about your drug addiction. Mm-hmm. You were involved in what all was you doing? Everything.
Anything. I want to say about 17, I was smoking pot and drinking. I was an alcoholic. It was bad.
So you were an alcoholic at 17, mm-hmm. smoking pot. And then it just went.
Yeah, a little bit of cocaine one night at a party with some friends, and then it went to meth and nerve pills. I have high anxiety. I always have. I could be every other girl when I was eating nerve pills because I didn't care. And I could fit in, and I guess that goes back to the self-conscious from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it was everything. When I got in trouble, it was for methamphetamines, though.
So your kids, you've got this guy in your house. Your kids are how old?
My daughter was 9 months old. My son was 3.
So you got a 9 month old and a 3 year old, and this guy's cooking meth in your house, and they come in, knock the door down, he splits, and there you are.
Here I am. It's all me. It was all me. I begged him. I pleaded. I was like, he ran. He even, back then you still had Nextels. He keyed me up and he told me, he said, run B. And I went to key him back and it wouldn't go through. And that's when they came through the door.
What's a Nextel? No, I'm just kidding.
Toot toot.
I'm just messing with you. So you're faced with 7 years of prison time.
Yeah, all of a sudden in my
face. And your kids are taken away.
Yeah. I walked them into everything. I didn't know it was there. They were like, can we search? I'm like, yeah, sure. Giving them the tour. I opened the guy's room. There's all kinds of bottles with stuff in it laying around. I opened the kitchen door, and the smell would have just knocked you out. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm going to jail, ain't I? And they said, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So a lot of things happening in Rachel's life.
Yeah.
And you made a statement, Rachel. You said, you became what you said you was not going to become.
Yes, sir, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
So all through your life as a kid, you're going, I'm not going to be that person.
Yeah, that's not going to be me. I know addiction runs in my family. This is a hot mess. I ain't going to do this. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm a good girl. Yeah.
And
and
you
I
are,
only took one thing and just everything went from
here
there.
Here you are finding yourself being the person that you said you was not going to be.
Probably more than the person I wasn't going to be.
Wow. Okay, we're going to come back to that. So, let's talk about how all that stuff, all that pain, all that junk, and there's Melody with you and Rachel with you, there's a lot of other things you hadn't shared. A lot of other things that's went on in your world. But all that was painful and brought a lot of terrible consequences. How do you think God took that, all of that, and shaped you and made you who you are today? I mean, when you look at your life, God doesn't waste our pain and our mistakes. And how do you think God is taken all that and moved in your life and shaping you into the person that you are today? Who wants to go first? All right, go, Rach.
I graduate in August, August the 8th, with my associate's in psychology. I plan on doing drug counseling.
There you go.
I was able to, my husband had a hard time getting clean. He had spent a lifetime of drugs with his family and all since a young age, and I was able to help him get sober and be help him get back to being a father, and
yay.
And that was great to
and
see
Mark.
Him. Yes,
Mark's good
a
guy.
Complete turnaround.
Yeah,
people said he couldn't do it, and I stepped by him, and we did it. We did it together.
To God be the glory, man. And so you showed up here. How in this world did you get here?
I had been here a couple times. I would come in and out. But like I said, that day looking at my kid and realizing I was doing to him what my parents did to me, and that if I wanted my life to be any different, maybe I should go back to that child I was and seek out my father and let my kids know him the way I didn't get to. And then maybe it would save them the spiral that their mother had. You know what I'm saying?
I do, Rachel, I do. That touches you, doesn't it?
Yeah, my kids are my world. I feel I don't want them to not have the things that I didn't have when I was little. I want them to have a mother that loves and understands. I mean, I had a good mom, but she was very into parties and work. She worked a lot because we didn't have a lot of money. So I want to make sure that they get that chance and don't feel like they don't belong anywhere and have a choice.
Good. So you showed up at Eden Westside and God began to deal with your heart and Mark's life. Gave your life to the Lord. I baptized you, didn't I?
Yes, sir. You baptized us both on the same
Mark
night.
And your husband and you.
Yes.
And God's changed your life.
Very much so.
I'm proud of you, Rachel. Golly, I'm proud of you. That's God's doing a work, and I love you so much. Melody, let's talk about you. How has God used it to shape you? What do you think?
Well, I'm a different person now.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, I have a more positive outlook on life, and it's almost like you can't wrap your mind around it, you know? Just, I think that, I don't even want to think about how life would be now, like, without him. I just think that, you know, getting in the church and getting able to hear, and I really, and I love this campus, don't get me wrong, I love the Eden campus, but the River campus is just, it's home.
What?
I know. It's home. Like, I mean, and don't get me wrong, this is like home away from home. But I love our campus. I love our River campus. The people are just, like, I feel like you've known, you know, I've known them forever, and just, you know, I don't know, he's made so many changes in my life. He put so many good people in my life, and I'm almost done with each one, reach one with Miss Reva, and she has been a influential person in my life, and I don't know where I would be without her. She really is such a godly woman. Like, she's a great example to you know, want to try to become some, you know, something similar, and try to let the Lord, of course, do his will and make me into the wife and the mother that he wants me to be. But she's been such a great person to be able to walk in this journey with. She's
amen. That's so cool.
She's, and I'm excited because we're almost done, and I'm so ready to take on my own each one, reach one person.
Did y'all hear that? Isn't that cool?
Yes.
So cool. So cool.
I'm excited because I don't know where I'd be without the program, because a lot of times you get into the church and, you know, okay, well, yeah, you're saved and you get baptized and, okay, oh, all right. And, you know, you'll talk a certain in the sermon or in lessons, oh, you know the story, and I'm just like, no, I don't know the story. I was not raised in the church.
Yeah.
No, so I'm to the point now, not all the time, not every time, but like, you know that story, and I'm like, oh, I know that one now.
Yeah, that's good.
So just the Lord's just done a lot of things, and he has not even begun to, you know, not even nearly be finished. He is just getting started.
Isn't that great?
Two of my four kids have been saved and baptized at the River campus.
Two of your four kids.
Two of four.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yes.
Yeah,
two are too small quite yet.
Yeah, I have the privilege of baptizing you as well.
And yes.
Gosh, we just love you guys, and we're so thankful for you. You know, with Rachel, you and Melody, you know, you're still who you are. You know, you still, you got all that junk and all that garbage. And Rachel, I remember you, we were in Haiti and we were talking, and you said, gosh, I'm still the big girl, you know? And, but you're, for both of you, the struggle that you battle with as a kid, the issues that you had, the bullying that you experienced, the names that you were called, and all that. Now, here you are, both of you, sitting on a stage in a large church telling your God story.
It's terrifying. Let me just say.
It is terrifying.
It is.
But I just want to say to you, you know, to me, you're beautiful people.
Thank you.
And you know, you find your beauty in God. And isn't that true, y'all?
Yes. When I first came here, you used to tell me all the time, I just love you, girl. And I'd look at you and go, I bet you tell all the girls that. Because it was so hard for me growing up the way I grew up to believe that anybody could just love anybody that fast. And I was like, this guy's just so full of
That's
it.
That's crazy.
But, you know, the more I get to know you, It's real. You're real. And I love it. And I love you. And I love your wife. And most of the people here are just so real and so warm and so open. And I didn't feel like I was being judged. Like, this would have been hard for me any other time. But the family that I have grown in this church, I know when I walk off the stage, no matter what I've done, they're going to hug me, they're going to love me, and ain't nobody going to have nothing to say about it.
Amen.
That's so good. Yay. You're right. That's what's going to happen. And if they don't, you let me know.
I can still be mean.
I love you, girl. Do you feel the same way, Melanie? Do you feel the same way?
As she feels?
Yeah, does she?
Absolutely. Like I said, this is it's different. Like I said, nothing against this campus. I love you people. I really do. And I can still see y'all. But River Campus is home. And it's like there's no strangers. Like it's. Yeah. Like, we know each other a little bit more on an intimate level than, you know, because we're a smaller, you know, campus. And we're, you know, there's not that many of us. So when we go greet each other, like, we turn around in a circle and we're done, you know? I mean, yeah. Like, so.
Yeah. Ha, ha, ha.
Pretty much, that. Yeah. So we know each other a little bit, you know, and not saying that you guys don't, you know, but we know each other a little bit more. And well, they're going to really know me after tonight. But,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I just, it was natural. Like, it was after, you know, coming in the first week, it was just kind of like, oh, all these, you know,
these
Jesus
people.
And
Jesus people.
God, you know, but then I got to thinking, and then, you know, I'm going to tell you, my sidekick, Michelle, she's just like, girl, pay attention. And, you know, we had been talking for years. She's like, oh, you know, we got to go to church. And I'm just like, oh, there she goes again. But we years of talking and just being close, and she's just like, we're gonna go together, and we did, and we still go together, you know.
Amen.
She's
isn't
there with
blessing?
Me every, she's doing great, and tell you, if it wasn't for her kind of helping this, you know, I don't know if I would have gotten this far, but I just, it's comfortable, it's genuine, and it's not forced, and it's not, like you said, it's not fake, it's not, you know, like you see, you know, you see people outside of church, and they're still the same people. It's not like, you know, you hear and you see, you know, there are people, oh, well, they're doing this or this or that, and then, oh, they're there on Sunday, and then Monday comes, and they're a completely different person. These people aren't. These people are the same people, and I would have no hesitation to pick up a phone and call Brother Rick or call Miss Reva or even call you. I mean, mm-hmm. with just anything, and
sure.
It's just comfortable, and it's genuine, and it's authentic.
Well, you know, the thing that we try to make sure that people understand is we're all guys. We're all, you know, battling. Everybody, when the lights come on, there's going to be a lot of people. And they got struggles, too.
Yeah.
And they got pain, too. And they've made bad decisions, too. And I think so many times, you know, I like what you said, Melody, that these people are the same on Monday as they are on Sunday. Because, you know what? That's the real deal. That's the Jesus that we serve. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect.
No.
You know, we're never going to be perfect until we get to heaven. But good night. Look what God has done in your life. And I just want you to know I'm proud of y'all. And I'm proud of how God has moved and worked in your life. And I know this sounds goofy to you, and it probably should. But, you know, it's people like you that inspire me. When I see God take where you've been, and the struggles that you had, the pain that you've had, and then I see God radically transform your life and move you from where you were to where you are today, that makes pastoring a church worth it all. And I just want you to know I love you and I'm proud of you.
We love you too.
To God
be.
Let's let them know, guys, that we love them and God is so good. Lights on. Yay, there you go. There's your family. Y'all sit still. Don't leave, Rachel. Good night. No, you're good. Come on, guys. Let's love them, y'all. God is good. Amen. I love you. I'm so proud of you. Y'all stay seated. Come on, guys. You know, to me, while y'all are standing, that's real lives, y'all. You know, that's not a sermon that we conjure up, Brother Kevin. That's just life. That's raw. And I'm going to tell you this. The same God that changed Rachel's life and changed Melody's life is the same God that can change your life.
Amen.
no matter where you've been, no matter what you've experienced in life, our God is a God that loves you where you are. And but he'll find you where you are, but he won't leave you where he found you. He's a God that changes you. And, you know, I think that so many times in churches we forget that. You know, I'm so thankful that Rachel can walk in here and even though she's got a past, that we're okay with that. Because guess what? So do you and so do I. And Melody the same way. And I was so excited to have Melody up here tonight. I wanted somebody from the River campus to come and share their story. And I'm just proud of you. I love you. I'll never forget when I first met her. She was like, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be a tough cookie to crack right here. But wow, God touched her life. And, you know, reaching out and sharing and leaving a Vacation Bible School brochure and a little kid getting that brochure going, Mom, I want to go to church. Who would have ever thought that? But she wouldn't quit bothering you. Drove you nuts. And so she finally goes, okay, we'll go. And look what's happened, y'all. God has used that to change a whole family. Your husband is a Hispanic guy, and he was here. I love him. He goes to the River campus with you. Yeah, and was at Revelation Walt last night. What an exciting time that is. Mark, where's Mark? Hey, Mark, you want to come up here and set with Rachel or hang out with Rachel a minute? Because I know you got a story too, man. I don't want to hear your story. Come on up, man. This is Mark, y'all. God's changed his life. I love you, man. I love you, man. I'm proud of you, baby. I'm proud of you. Here, you can set. You have to set by Melody. You can't set by Rachel. Amen. This is Mark. Mark's got his own story. But God's changed both of your lives. Change your family, Mark. To God be the glory, man. And I know you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs with you, but I'm going to tell you, man, I'm proud of you. I love you. You're my bud. Love you, man. See what God does, y'all? Changes lives. And I want to say this, and I'm not going to keep you long. He can change your life. He can change your life tonight. Where does it start? It starts by realizing that there's a God that absolutely loves you where you are. Not to condemn you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse says, God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God is not okay with our sin choices. He's not okay with that. We cannot sugarcoat that. Doing drugs is wrong. You know, doing all this stuff is wrong. And we don't try to hide that. But what we do say is you cannot out-sin the grace of God. Because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And God finds us where we are and loves us where we are and accepts us. Are you ready for this? To go into a relationship with him. That you can say yes to Jesus and Jesus can change your life. Find you where you are, but won't leave you where you are. And by the way, just so you'll know, and I just feel like I need to say this to somebody. When you get saved, God takes and washes away all of your sin in his blood. But we're a project, y'all. Just because we get saved doesn't mean that God flips a switch and goes, oh, you're perfect now. Because we're not. And we're never going to be perfect till we get to heaven. And I think so many people that are, you know, kind of in that spot are going, man, I just don't know if I can live this Christian life. Can I be honest with you? You cannot live it. It's just something you can't do. You have to let God do it through you. And you know what? You'll ask Jesus in your heart. You'll probably mess up again. You'll have to say, Lord, I didn't mean to do that, but he'll help you with that life. And your life can be changed tonight. You can come to know the same Jesus that Rachel came to know, or Melody came to know, or Mark came to know. And you're a prayer away from that. Let me tell you how to do that. In a moment, I'm going to invite ministers to come down here. And they're going to stand here. And they've been given a responsibility. And that responsibility is to help people in their decisions. And if you want to come and just say, for example, you were like me. I didn't have a clue, man. I was dumb as a rock in this spiritual stuff too. But I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what prayer to say. I didn't know how to get saved. I didn't know all that stuff. But these people are here to help you pray a prayer. And it's not about saying all the right stuff, but it's about having your heart in the right place. See, God's not interested in the words you utter out in a prayer. God's interested in, do you really want Him to come into your heart? And if you authentically mean that, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't understand all this Bible stuff, and I may not know all the scriptures, and I don't even know how to pray. But if you'll just believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you believe that He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again, and now He is alive, and He gave His life for you. You say, Lord, I know You died for my sins, and I want You to come into my heart. And if you're sincere with that, Jesus will save you. You don't have to know all this other stuff. That'll come later. But you got to start somewhere. And I just want to tell you this, and then we'll close, and we'll see what God's going to do. There's one thing God requires of you. One thing that nobody else can do for you. Even God can't do it for you. He requires for you to take the first step. You've got to be willing to step out and come. Every person in the Bible He called publicly. And if you'll take the first step, I promise you this, He'll bring you the rest of the way. But you got to make that decision to take the first step. So tonight, we're just going to take a minute. Our ministers are going to come, and we're going to sing a song. And we want you to sing with us. And if you'd like to come to Christ, this is your moment to do that. These guys will help you with your decision. Maybe you want to join the church. We'd love for you to do that tonight. So this is your moment. So let's sing together, guys.